Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting Monday, February 29, 2016 at 3:02 p.m.
Oh my goodness. Oh boy.
Okay, 3:02, let's get started here. Call the meeting to order, the Board of County Commissioners, stand and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tony, call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes. Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom for anybody in the audience who wants to attend and follow along. We're going to start off with the consent agenda items. One, we got the approval of the previous minutes from February 16th of 2016. We got the payroll claims, which Rick helped me go over them today. Accounts payable claims, there was none. And then D, we have a sheet of showing the approval of the surplus sale board report. If anybody noticed, I made a lot of money on it. Mm-hmm. Procedures, right? So anyways, with the consent agenda items there, I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda items.
Second.
Okay, we got a first and a second. Call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, new business. We got Kathy from BSN. She's the practice manager, asking the board to approve and renew the EAP contract for Employees Assistant Program services between Dakota County and Mercy Business Health. Kathy, you got the floor.
Okay. I think I know this fella from a previous life, don't I?
Yeah.
Okay, it took me a minute. I was so busy getting myself together.
You don't look like you were old enough for the prohibition.
Here we go.
And I'm a little nervous. You don't make people cry, do you? About the tissues. Okay. I'm from Mercy Business Health. I'm Kathy Peter. I'm the manager there. We've had the EAP relationship for a long time. For people who don't know what EAP stands for, it's Employee Assistance Program. It is a fairly common benefit that employers offer their employees. Its primary purpose historically has been to provide counseling to people who have personal life issues that are interfering with their performance at work, their ability to attend physically, their ability to attend mentally. One of the main benefits is 3 free counseling sessions per issue. Not 3 per year, but if, you know, 1 month it's your teenager and the next month it's your neighbor and the 3rd month it's your spouse, you get 3 free counselings for all of that. It has a lot of life services as well, helping find elder care, helping find child care, legal referral, support if your identity is stolen. This is all available at $27 per employee per year, and you have 101 employees. We, about a year and a half ago, was it, Joan, switched from a direct on-site EAP to an indirect off-site. Got a lot more services, I think a lot, an enhanced confidentiality, and 24-hour access. So it's one dial, call in. From reviewing the reports you have in your hands, I think that we can work to promote the understanding of the benefit to colleagues through the use of these. Joan, I think I sent you a link with the annual report that said that had an 8-minute video you could use at staff meetings and with new hires to explain what the benefit is. Mostly we see if we just let people know what's going on that the utilization goes up, because it's a great benefit and you should use it, because once you pay, it's free to your colleagues.
Right, and then like we were talking right before the meeting, you know, our percentage is very low for our standard.
And that just might be, have such a fabulous workforce and such a fabulous place to work that nobody's got any issues.
Yes.
Or it might mean that they're not aware of the services.
No, I looking through this though, you see the percentages and they are low.
Well, like the EAP services, you know, she said in general it should have been 4 to 6.
4 to 6. That means people. So to me, 1% means people could be more aware of it. but we can work on that with some very limited. I mean, it's not a big campaign. Get the word out at staff meetings. Use these brochures. Have department heads understand the benefit. But I'd sure entertain any questions about it. Another nice thing about this EAP, when they take somebody, a referral in, and it's one call, and you can get help right then if you need it then. They are going to work with your health insurance so that if somebody does come for 3 sessions of counseling, they're going to try and create a situation that if they need more than 3 sessions, they can coordinate it with your health benefit rather than having to start over with another counseling relationship. So they're going to try and refer them to a counselor who accepts your personal health.
What is the average number of sessions normally? I mean,
3 are free, and it just depends on the problem. A lot of problems can be...
Probably always more than 3, isn't it?
No. A lot of the problems are solved in one phone call.
Really?
Yeah. Well, an example was, I'll give one of our companies that has over 250 employees. They work in a cubicle environment, and they had an employee who was an awesome employee, did a great job, but she had a problem that was causing the whole place to go crazy. Her voice was so loud that in that cubicle environment, they were having discord at work. Well, they called me and told me about the problem. I think they wanted me to give them some advice, but I said, no, you got to call the EAP. They called the EAP, and in that time got a management consultation that helped them solve the problem. And
Billy, you think you can solve our problems in one phone call?
No.
Again, not me. No.
That surprises me. I thought it'd be a several session.
It depends. You know, if it depends on the severity.
Sure.
Any other questions? I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's more of a question if you want to continue the benefit for your colleagues or not.
I think we should, and I think maybe we should make it more known if you think that's an issue.
I can work with Joan on a couple of strategies that I've been using with other companies.
We used to send out quarterly updates and reports to the supervisors and then some to the employees. But
and you get monthly emails from us about different wellness hints.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I pass all those.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a good deal.
All right. Well, what do we want to do here?
I would move to renew the EAP contract for the Employee Assistance Program.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay. We got a first and a second. Can we call roll, please, Joan?
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
And Tom?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to give Joan some brochures. Good to see you.
Thank
again.
You.
Appreciate it. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you. And then I want to just send that back.
Okay. We're going to go to Lori Warner, President of the South City Chamber of Commerce and the County Visitors Bureau, to present a tourism update. Lori, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
This is the, what I'm passing out to you right now is the new visitor guide for 2016, and then I also am handing out to you
the card. Wasn't that cute?
Our new card wrap too that we're doing this year. The card wrap, which is the second one I'm sending out, is something that we're putting out in all the hotels out in western Nebraska. We actually won a bid at the last conference for a free 6 months of placing it out in the card racks in the hotels out in western. So this will be out there for 6 months, and it just gives you a nice overview of our community and everything we have to offer in Dakota County. Typically, that would run you about $2,000 just to secure the spot for 6 months, but it cost us $100. So, and then, of course, it was the printing of the card rack. This was the most economical way of putting something out. The books would have been too expensive to put out.
That's the first thing I do when I go to the area is grab those cards out of the card rack.
Yep. And it's just economically, because we printed, we had to give them $6,000 to $8,000 to be able to, you know, immediately give to them so that they have them to put out for that 6 month time frame. So we'll see how that goes.
Part
two. And then I also have for you, I'm just inundating you, sorry. I have the finances. You'll see here our balance sheet, and you'll also see I have on here the last fiscal year complete And then I also have to from this fiscal year, year to date, so that you can see where we're at. And as you can see, we're very healthy. We have a healthy bank account, $218,000 in our account right now. And that is as of the end of January. And then if you look at the next sheet, you'll see the profit and loss for the current year, July 2015 to January 2016. And you'll see that's what's come in for the lodging tax. We were at $113,000 at the end of January for this fiscal year. On the third sheet, you'll see the comparison of all the years past and to now. On this sheet, if you look down at the very bottom on the right-hand side, it says total calendar year. The 2015, because we just received the December a couple days ago, we are at 187. That's the best ever that we've ever done with lodging tax. So we're very excited about that. And as you can see from 2012 till now, we've increased by over 50,000 in lodging tax. Now, some of that is CF Industries. That's been significant in them staying, you know, in the hotels and stuff too. But others are just the different activities that we've added in and that we've included. We do know that it will back off a little bit. CF Industries announced they only had 6 weeks left and then most of their people would be going home. However, if the pork, depending on when the pork plant starts, then you'll still see a lot of people coming in to help build with the pork plant. So we still expect to have the numbers stay up there. It might not be quite as high, but it still will be high.
I'm saying,
right.
CFI has 4,500 employees versus, you know.
Right. Yep. But you can see just the impact that it's had over the last few years and how we've grown with the different things that we've done.
How long have you been with Celsius?
Since 2012.
2012, right. Yeah.
22. And then I just wanted to give you a few highlights of what else that we have going on this year. We just had a conference last week. We had the Nebraska Concrete and Aggregate Conference here at the Marina Inn, and I went out and helped them with the registration and welcomed them at their lunch. And I believe that was a good turnout, a nice event. It was their first time of having it in South Sioux, so we were happy that they chose to come up here. In April, we have the Department of Economic Development Conference, which will be April 13th through the 15th, and I'm helping Kelly Flynn with organizing and planning that. In June, we have our Mid-America Youth Basketball Tournament, which is secured, and we're expecting, last year we had 75 basketball teams in for 2 days, so we're expecting the same. Cardinal Festival Days will be June 10th through the 12th. Our PDGA Disc Golf Tournament is secured for July 16th. We're expanding that. It looks like it's going to be the 16th and 17th, and we're going to do all three courses that are here. The idea is then we can get people to stay overnight for that event as well. Then, of course, the Dakota Thurston County Fair, and then we have a Envision Leadership Conference that we're helping with also. Getting that going, and we have secured Tom Osborne as our speaker for that event, and that will be September 21st and 22nd. So a lot of, again, great things coming up, things that we're still working on. We do have a dog show here in May, and I just talked to the marina about 2 weeks ago, and they already have almost 1,000 rooms secured, 1,000 room nights secured for that dog show in May. So it will be huge. And then we also have next year, we've got an Irish Setters dog show coming in April of 2017 that we're secured, and we're working with the Sharpays to get them for 2018. So a lot of great things happening with the dog shows too, and again, that's our goal, is to try to get a national show here. We'd like to have one every spring and one every fall, but if we can get a minimum of one, that's a huge
benefit. What's the next dog show that you said?
This May that we have. I can't remember the, it's actually in your book, because I'm not good at remembering the name of them all. But under the May calendar, it does have it listed. The American-Belgian Tervuren national show, that's the one that has 1,000 nights booked already.
Well, I think it just, we need to go down there and see them.
It is wonderful. It's May 16th through the 21st. If you have that opportunity, the blessing that we have with the Marina Inn is one that they're so accommodating, but we do an indoor arena and an outdoor arena. So, of course, it depends on the weather. We also use the baseball fields for agility testing, so we can go down and use one of the baseball fields, set it up for what they need for their agility testing, which works out really well, too. If you have not had that opportunity to go down, I went down. I've actually been to every one we've had so far, and they all do it a little bit different. But they're just all so much fun to watch. The last year, the one we did was the German Shepherds, and they were wonderful to watch, to go down and watch them doing their agility testing. And that was really fun.
The question, the Cardinal yes. Festival days,
yes.
has that been successful as you guys imagined? I just figured it would bring more money than what it has.
Well, we don't. It's no money to us. Nothing comes back to us. That's a community event. So it all goes back to the community foundation. So, yes, it has been successful. It's had a profit every year since I came, since 2012. It's been very successful, and it's grown every year as well. The Friday night last year, we had 2,000 people at the drive-in movie.
And is that wall seal up down there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's going to stay.
That's permanent.
It's permanent. That's what I thought. I guess I haven't been
there to see it. It's a concrete wall with a stage on the front, and we'll be using that again.
I had the same thoughts as Scott had, you know, when I until that I went to the last meeting at the Dakota Cardinal days. There was, you guys were making money, and I find out it was not a deal. There was a community band trying to get the community together and. Mm-hmm. And breaking in. I mean, if you make it out.
I don't think I went last year, but I think
actually
prior years,
we,
I thought it was awesome.
We made about profited about $3,500 last year. That again, it goes right back into its own account. So that the idea is we built it up. There's about $25,000 sitting in that account. So that if there is a rainout or there is something that happens, that we always have that money to help pay for those things. Because if you are rained out, you lose everything, basically, unless you get the rainout insurance, and that's just so expensive. So,
I know that one year I was collecting money at the door down there. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
It is. It's a good event. And the whole idea is, again, to bring the community out and enjoy it as a community event.
Is there any interest in new motels or hotels coming to town and build?
I do know that Kelly did reach out to a few people. I don't know if it's gone anywhere or not. We would like to see a new one come in because usually we could really use one in our community. It would be nice to have like a cobblestone or something that's more about that 3-star level. And I know that they have proposed the land over by Walmart as a site, a possible site for that, but I haven't seen any interest come in on that, no. If you would know somebody, that would be great.
It would be nice to have one over by Walmart.
It would be really nice. We could use another one. Really could.
That looks good. Sounds good.
Great job, Lori.
Yeah, any questions for me? The other thing I just want to share with you, because we mentioned the dog toys, our dog park and the dog events coming in, is we actually approached, when I say we, the CVB board approved to give some money back to the school to have some dog toys built to put into our dog park so that when they're coming down or coming for the dog shows, they can go there and practice. So Jean Moffitt and I went up to the school and met with them, and we met with their CAD class. And the advanced CAD class, which is the juniors and seniors, are actually designing the toys that we can put in the park. And they're like the hoops that you jump through or the teeter-totter or the ramp that you go up and down. And so we just went back up last Friday to see where they're at in their design phase, and they showed us some of their designs. And it's pretty cool because those kids are really proud of what they have designed. And so for them to sit there and give you a 20-minute explanation of a teeter-totter was pretty fun because they went part by part to tell you this is how they put it all together, and they were so proud, so it was really nice. But they're going to do a couple more for us, and then we're supposed to go back and look at them. And then the idea is this group designs them, they'll turn them over to the construction class. The construction class will then build them for us. They'll turn around and turn them over to the GTL class, who will actually go out and install them in the park for us. Then. And then we're, from our part, this CBB is we're paying for the materials to have it done. So it's a good collaboration.
Right.
Oh, cool. Sounds
cool.
Everybody got one of these. Do you know, have you seen it?
The Visit Nebraska Visit Night.
Yeah, I got it.
Is there anything we should be doing with that, or?
We do it, we promote it on most of our things that we do. If you look on, even on the book and our advertising that we send out and do, we put the Visit Nebraska Visit Nights on there.
It's just a grant application.
Oh, and the yes, we have applied actually for a few different grants from them. And we actually, if you're not familiar, they have a passport program also that you can get. You submit your idea and you try to get it on the passport. I just got the rejection today saying that we didn't qualify. We weren't geographically located where they wanted us to be this year or something for the choices that they made. So, but we'll try again. We'll do it again in the future. And if it works into the system, then, you know, we'll end up being a part of it. And we do apply for the grants. We applied for the grant last year based on the dog show, and they told us that it wasn't large enough to qualify for the event. Even though it brought $1 million into our community, it wasn't a large enough. But they do, you know, when you look at all the College World Series and the different things they do, it's almost every year the one grant has gone to Omaha and Lincoln only. And it's been for those events, for like the College World Series and the Olympics, the pre-trials for the Olympics. So, but we keep trying.
One thing that I need to tell you, Lori, is that
yes.
For the board, I mean, myself, that I've been involved with the Shamrock Commerce, and if you look at the numbers from 2012 until today, I mean, we're proud of you.
Thank
we
you.
Are proud of you, because I remember the numbers before, so you're doing something right. That's all I want to tell you.
And we have a great group of people, so
thank
it
you.
All works out well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to C, which is Amber Monet requesting approval for Resolution 16C-003 in support of authorizing the application for the Victims of Crime Act grant under Dakota County Victims Assistance Program.
This will be for fiscal year coming up, 2016 and 2017. I'm expecting the announcement should come out any day now. Last year it was around this time, too. Nothing has changed in the resolution. Everything is the same. It's just requesting the board for approval for the application for the upcoming grant year.
Just normal procedure?
Yes, and I'll be going to the city next week. For
it seems like you go around the horn a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I'm like going in a circle. It's all right, though.
Quick question before we make a motion on this. How's your interviewing going?
It's going good. I'm hoping to have the part-time bilingual advocate hired by the end of this week or next week. So
perfect.
We had about 10 applicants, but 5 really met the
criteria,
the functions and the criteria, and so we had the interviews last week.
Well, good.
Okay.
Sounds good. Okay, well, I guess we need a motion for Resolution 16C-003.
I want to make a motion to accept the Resolution 16C-003 in support of the assessment application for the Victim Assist Grant Program.
Sorry. Okay. John, we got a motion in a second.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you, Amber. We'll get everything signed off.
Appreciate
and get it.
It
to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to move to D, the County Board to review the final plat of the purpose of Bluffview Subdivision on Dixon Path. And after considering the plat, the Planning Commission comments make of its own recommendations to the municipality of having jurisdiction.
Planning and zoning met last Tuesday, and they approved it. They go along with it. So they send it to us. So it's really up to us.
So basically, just because it's sitting in the county, it's on our lap right now, but it's in the jurisdiction of the city.
Yeah. And I know where the parcel is, and it used to be the old glass trailer court, and the city cleaned it up, and there's one new home out there, and then the Salts Givers, they built a building out there, and it's going to enhance the area greatly out there.
Who owns the
Salts Giver? I believe is who's going to be the developer on it. Dennis and Darrell.
Yeah.
And they built homes in Rotunda as long as and over in South City too. They built several homes. And they build quality stuff, so it's not going to be something that's It's going to enhance the area.
So by the time you do the six lots, I'm trying to visualize. I know there's the one house, which is Tammy's, correct? And then the six lots, I know they're only acre lots, 1.1 acre lots. How far west does that go? Does that come down to...
Do you know where Kevin Potts lives?
Yeah.
Right to his road, okay. Right there, where it'll end up.
Well, it's good to put that area to use because it has been wider for some time.
It has, yeah.
Yeah, it's better than what it was 30 years ago.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, let's... Any other discussion on that? If not, we're going to move to E. We're going to approve Resolution 16C-004, certifying that the subdivision final plat for the Bluff View subdivision lots 1 through 6. Trust B of governing of Lot 3, Section 17, Township 29 North, Range 9 East, which has been found to comply with the subdivision regulations and accepting the maintenance of all streets, utilities, other public areas as indicated on said plat. So with that said, obviously we looked at it, we talked about it, so we need a motion to approve this.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 16C-004 on the final plat of the Bluffview subdivision.
Okay, we got a motion, we need a second.
Second it.
Okay, we got a second by Tony, first by Rick. Call roll, please.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to miscellaneous. The man of the hour, Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, Road Report.
Man of the hour.
Would you like to be known as man of the hour? Probably not, right?
February 14th to February 27th, road maintenance, 221 hours, hour and three quarters overtime, aggregate, 4,203 tons.
Unbelievable.
Sign repair, 20 hours, 12 signs, barricading. 2 hours, two barricades. Road concerns, 15, grading, 142nd, Mills Beach, Lake Juana Drive, and L Avenue. Gravel, Blyberg, Oakdale, Omaha Avenue, I Avenue, 230th Street, Fiddler Creek, Mills Road, 170th Street, and 260th.
Any questions for Fred? Because the looks of things, he's going to be back up here anyway. So,
no, I just know that I've called Fred, and there was some spots where people were having trouble getting through, and we dumped rock in those spots. Other than these,
yes, there's probably, like I said, some I've missed. Yeah, that I've gotten personally. This is
I got called today on Tool Avenue up there on the S curve.
And we know we're going to beat the drum that we've talked about a lot, that November, December, we put down a lot of rock, a blizzard, hardly any frost in the ground. When February comes around, we're putting rock. I mean, it's just unheard of that, you know, our rock budget is gone. You know, we still have 4 months left. You know, so, I mean, it's just everywhere you go, I've talked to other counties, everybody has the same song and dance. I mean, it's not just Dakota County. It's everywhere. I mean, I know some great blade operators over in Woodbury County that, yeah, it's just, it's not ongoing. Matter of fact, I went to Fremont the other day, and as I'm going down 77, looking down these roads, they got issues. And let's face it, you know, Dakota County has a lot of traffic compared to a lot of those smaller counties that you're heading down. But anyways, okay, anything else for Fred?
Did we even have any frost this year? Was there any frost at all?
We talked about that the other day, trying to figure out the frost. I never heard from any contractors about if it was.
I'd say it's pretty much out by
it
now.
It is. What if there was any? Yeah, the snow covered it.
I think there. Yeah, there was no cover. I don't think there was in the Bear Road.
Yeah,
I think you had some.
Did you?
Yeah, I put.
There might be some in the shaded areas, like South Bluff or some areas along there. There's been no sunshine on it.
Thanks, Fred.
Okay, thanks, Fred. All right, let's move on to four. We're going to go to Commissioner Committee Reports. I have one with the, I know our LEC meeting got canceled last week, or last month, I should say, that Dakota County Public Safety Agency.org, we met a couple times last month, and we did finally went with a underwriter, which is Emeritus, for our monies. And then a few of us officers met with the bank, which is Siouxland National Bank, who carries our checking accounts. And once they get the monies, they're going to, obviously with the FDIC amount, they're going to call all the other banks in the smaller communities of Homer and Emerson and what have you and see if they can spread that money around. So, and then we meet again tomorrow night. There's a lot of issues, but things are going well. I think Dakota City, I think everybody's pretty much got their engineers involved and the architects. I think everybody's going to be moving forward this spring on building. So, and I think as of right now, I think we've raised, what, a little over, I think the sales tax is $300,000+. And we have some monies going out already, obviously, about paying the architects and engineers and getting things rolling. I think I just heard the other day there's still $180,000 in there. So we've had, you know, enough monies to operate on until the big dollar amounts come up. So I would suspect, if I had to guess, by the probably they're hoping by the end of this year that Dakota City will have their new fire department out here.
Yeah. You know, from what I've heard, everybody's that's out of the, what is there, four that are getting new fire stations are adding on. Homer's adding on, and then Emerson and Hubbard are adding on. Everybody's getting what they want.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and then I think there's a few of them that have some, they want some equipment involved, you know. I don't know the exact breakdown of who's getting what equipment or who's spending everything on. Maybe Joan knows, or maybe you don't know. I can't answer that, but I know that, it's going well. Like I said, I know that, it's going well. That's about all I can say, so. Finally, things are in motion with us over there. Other than that, is there any other committee?
Yeah, I want Sally to give this Northeast Nebraska here on this deal here.
And I wish I had more to give you. I'll give you what I've got. Yeah. At our last Key Northeast Nebraska beautiful meeting, first of all, Enactus, the college student business group, came and presented to us, and one of the projects they've taken on this year is litter. And part of their project is going to be getting permanent concrete litter receptacles and putting them in high traffic, high litter areas. And they're going to be looking for sponsors. And South Sioux has already offered to do a $1,000 match on sponsorships. So they're going to have exact prices, pictures, and a presentation ready for the Chamber Coffee at the end of April, so I'll keep you in tune on that one. We are going ahead with a plan to do a cleanup on 129. We've contacted the state, and they want more information, so they haven't told us no. To do that, we're going to need to use ATVs, and I'll keep you posted as we go down the road, and that will be the same day as Pace Day in South Sioux, which will be in May, but they haven't set that date either. So
what day is it? I'm sorry, what? The same date as what?
We're going to do it the same day as South Sioux's Pace Day, and they'll let us use probably some of their ATVs too.
It was very successful last year.
Yeah, and 129 is...
Didn't get touched.
I mean, it's a problem because of the access to it, but if they'll let us use ATVs, then I think we could do it. So
it's very rewarding when to go out there.
You learn a lot.
Not to throw your gum wrappers out. Waiting for that.
Have you contacted deputies, you know, in case we need?
No, the next thing I'm going to do is talk to the state. They wanted more information. If we can't use ATVs, then we can't do it.
Yeah.
So I will give them the information they need, and I know the sheriff will need some that are four passenger to transport the volunteers, and then it'll be easy to get the other ones just to pick up the bags and take them back. But I know they've got one four passenger, so I think you've got a four passenger, yep. And you've got a four passenger, and that you know if we had that many, running volunteers back, that would be good. So it's all whether or not the state, once we give them all the information, will go along with it or not. But hopefully they will.
Sounds good, Sally. Thank you.
You bet.
Any other committee reports? If not, we're going to move on.
I got one, Scott.
Okay, sorry.
I went to the planning and zoning that was that this issue here already done, and the three guys from that board are going to go to Kearney, Nebraska for the workshop.
Were they excited about being the three planning and zoning people that we, is that what you're talking about, that we...
No. The new appointments or the new...
Yeah,
no problem. No, I'm talking about, they go to Kearney, Nebraska for the workshop program. The weekend they spent out there for... it's a seminar, a workshop, what it is. Harold Knowles, Marlon Miller, and Arnie Miller. Those three going out there. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. Okay, let's move on to five, mail and or emergency business. If not, we're going to move into public comment. Anyone have a public comment that they'd like to bring up? You're more than welcome to come up to the podium, state your name and address for the record.
I guess that's us. Hi, I'm Felicia Polly. This is William Slavin. We live on I Avenue. Everybody probably knows about I Avenue.
Best road in the county right now.
It's getting there, yes.
It's getting there. It's one lane, but it's a lane.
I know I've talked to Scott and talked to Dick, but here a couple of weeks ago the bus slid backwards down. We have I don't know if you know where I Avenue is. We have a terrible field. It's a steep hill and it's on the north side, and so when it snows, if the snow doesn't get off of it, it gets ice packed. I've slid backwards down it with a load of hay one time, flatbed with 11 round bales of hay. That was not cool. My business is horses. Most of the time, I had a guy come out to buy a horse, was coming to pick it up. He had to back all the way down the hill, get another running start. This is what I deal with all the time. I can't even have company most of the time. He's got guys working on his house. 2 days they couldn't even get to his house because they couldn't come work. They couldn't get down the road. And it's not just this year. We've been dealing with this hill for 10 years. I've been there 10 and a half. He's been there 11. And this hill has been an issue the whole time. And I guess what I want to see done is I want to, you know, they came out last week and put gravel on. From his house to my house, that's actually the best part of the road. That didn't need work. That part of the road has a crown. And where the gravel stopped, they quit working, was right where the road gets bad. And Matt Roost is now, I never met him. I've heard stories about him.
He's your neighbor.
From Anderson Farms.
There, yeah.
Was kind enough the other day to stop, bless his heart, he stopped, got out of his road grader, came down and talked to me, you know, which I told him, he has no idea how much I appreciated that. Explained to me that he's going to try to do what he can, you know, which is what I think needs to happen, because we are the ones that travel that road every day. We are the ones that know where those spots are. There's four bad spots on that road. I have a horse trailer with living quarters. Most of the time I can't even get my, because I have a black tank and a gray tank underneath, I can't even get down the road with it. We do barrel racings, we do equine events all winter long. Most of the time I can't get out. If I get out, I can't get back up the hill. After sliding down it backwards once before, I really don't want to do it with the $40,000 horse trailer and, you know, $25,000 horses.
That's a steep hill.
It's a very steep hill.
It is. I've hauled hay up there before.
And I try to get my hay ahead of time because I know what it's going to be like getting it in. But sometimes I run out and I have to plan everything. I have horses, need to go to the vet. I can't get out to go get them. I have people coming to look at horses. They can't get there to look at them. They can't get a trailer in. And it's just frustrating right now.
What would be a solution? I know it would be tough to cut that hill.
It would be real tough to cut that hill.
So. Yeah, it would be. It'd be next to impossible. Yes, it is.
You can see the sides are coming down on it on a regular basis.
Well, I think what happened last time, if I may real quick here, I think, you know, when you called me about the ice situation, and they went out and took the ice off, you know, they scraped it off, and then obviously the temperature got warm, mm-hmm. and then it turned to mud. Mm-hmm. And it was going to probably turn to mud regardless. I don't know the sunlight up there.
This was the worst it's been. That when that bus flipped, that is the worst that hill has been as far as mud.
Let me just say,
it's got a proper crown on it.
That's why I'm here. It's because my little girls were on that bus, and I got a call from the bottom of the hill from my daughter that said, please come get us the bus slid down off the road. And if you guys got kids and they're on that bus and that phone call comes to you and your kid said, we're on the bus, it slid off the hill. Now, it slid down the hill, not off the hill, but you get that phone call and you'd be here too.
Isn't there a creek at the bottom of that hill too?
No,
that's the on the other side of the hill, and actually the bus almost went off there a couple of years ago. Okay. And that's probably about a 20-foot drop. I take my kids to school. I just don't even let them get on the bus. I used to drive school bus. I can't even imagine what the bus driver goes through.
Fred was on this morning.
And then, yeah,
I've seen you this morning.
And we had agreed, and Fred probably doesn't even know this, years ago to make a turn out of your place with some rock. We furnished some rock for the bus to turn around.
Yep, never seen it.
And we did it years ago, and you probably never got passed on to Fred. In his defense.
None of the grader operators know about it either.
I agreed to it.
Yeah. Well, you can see, when I bought that house, my driveway was a straight slope from my concrete to the road. And you can see that there's a 2-foot drop now. That's from 10 years of school bus turning around in my driveway and no rock, and she just packs it down and it gets pushed off into the yard and it gets washed away.
But that's where everybody turns around.
Yeah.
That's true.
The trash truck. Northeast Public Power was out the other day. They had to back clear down the road and back down my driveway to get a running start to get out because they were in a dually flatbed with no four-wheel drive.
And I understand that you guys have put down a lot of rock already. And like you said, your budget's blown.
But you got to keep moving forward.
It's not at the point that I can't even drive my service van home. I have to park it in town, and then I have to take my expedition home because I can't even get my own vehicles up my driveway because of how deep the rut is. And a truckload of some big road base would cure this.
You absolutely cannot live on that road without a four-wheel drive. We just bought Lance a car. He's 14. He's going to start driving. He's not going to be able. There's no way he'd get the car out right now. He'd drag bottom, you know. Coming up that hill, and while I appreciate the gravel, it was a quick fix, you know. And the next day, it was a gravel up the center of the hill, and all I could see was, and he had to back down the hill because he met the bus, you know. It was center up the hill. Well, who drives the center of the hill when you're going up a hill? And now we're asking our bus with a load of kids to go up the center of that hill,
right?
You know, because absolutely can't get off. If you get off of that, it's going to suck you in.
And it's better now that it's dry. When y'all put the gravel down before, let's put it right on top of 8 inches of mud, and then came down the hill and kind of spread it out. All that did was make it just a muddy mess. I mean, it was like 8 inches of foot.
Okay, so what's our solution here?
Let me say one more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I called a friend of mine that has done roads for 40 years. Explain, because I never had this problem in South Dakota. I don't know what the difference is.
It's not as the cowpiss on the flat rock up in South Dakota, right?
Well, it is flat, but there are hills in the river hills, and I lived in the river hills. He said that what they have to do on those spots is he buys pit run gravel, pit run rock, and they have to put a base down, and then they put a binder, and then they put the gravel on top of that. He said it is a It's terrible to grade, he said. It's not the greatest to grade, but on most of them soft spots, he says it's the only thing you can do. We have, if you were out there, we have the hill. We have right there by Howard. I don't know Howard's last name. That's another spot that's an issue, right in front of Brenda Dickey's. And then as
the
you go up
front that... Of now, would it... I'm asking you because it's your deal. Would we be better off putting bigger rock in front of places like in front of Howard's place where... The ruts are 8 inches deep, and every time it rains, it's just a big, it's like a mud block going through there. It's ridiculous.
Well, what has happened in February, I've never seen these kind of weather conditions where you're actually pushing snow one day, and by the next week,
you have snow melt and you're actually hauling rock. Weather conditions, we had the wettest November and December we've ever had.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is weather-driven conditions.
Would we have any teams?
But these, but they're the same spots every year. Though. When we have problems, these are the same exact spots. The other one is that incline going up to my house. When I pull in with the horse trailer, I have to swing out to get in that driveway. And I don't can't tell you how many times I've almost went up in that ditch. But that's where everything is washing down. And last year we had those torrential rains. You know, my fence posts in my pasture are getting shorter, and it's about 12 inches of gravel in there.
Can we put down, what do you call it? The
ballast?
Yeah.
I don't like that. It's too big. You can't blade it or anything once you get it in there.
They did crushed concrete.
No, that ballast, that three-inch
stuff. Oh, shit.
I just don't like
it. If you put that down, though, what he was telling me, and you put, I don't know what a binder is.
Clay.
Okay. And you put that the binder on top of it and the gravel on top of it, are you going to have that kind of trouble?
Well, we did that on M Avenue many, many years ago when I was working. And then all of a sudden in the summertime, we started breaking window ice because it'll work up. It's going to come out of the ground. And we did it on M Avenue out there by Bill Green's place. And at the time, we were doing a good deal. But then all of a sudden, the window light just started going. It was a bad deal.
I'm like Billy, you know. I'm just saying, but I don't know.
Well, it's really frustrating for a taxpayer. And if for some reason I wanted to sell our house and move, who in the hell would buy it?
Who's gonna
drive down that road? And I mean, it lowers the value of our homes, but our taxes keep going up.
What's this? Okay, Fred, I ask you, this stuff we got from Newcastle. Okay, now we was gonna do that out here on H Avenue. Would that put a base?
It'd be great for that road, but you got to get the right elements.
I know, but I'm just saying
the weather plays a huge key in that stuff. It probably would be a great. We talk about putting on M Avenue.
Yeah.
And that would probably be a good solution out there, but the weather's not.
But you say there's three spots out there that are really giving you headaches. Four spots that are giving you headaches. Let's go out there and stake those four spots out, and then we'll come out and take a look at them and see what we can do. We'll come up with a solution.
Because, I mean, I'm losing pasture to gravel.
Yeah.
I have 30-something head of horses.
Would you mind if we went out there and scarify?
No, I would love it if you'd come out and talk to us and ask us.
Would you mind if we did proceed and put a turnaround up there by your place?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know a couple years ago, they were going to put a drain tube underneath my driveway, and they were going to run the ditch along the side of the road so it would drain through. They said that was going to help with it getting washed out with the bus, but they took the drain pipe. They were going to put it in, and they put it across the road. They put it in the ditch on the field side.
Okay.
The bus. Well, what we did is we sloped the whole road onto that side is the reason why.
And then the bus backed up and broke that tube and got
there's
stuck.
A minimum maintenance road that he lives on the end, and there's still a short distance going. Drains quite a bit, so you got a lot of.
We know we got a problem out there, okay? Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you guys coming. But I just also in the same time we got a lot of problems everywhere. We know.
Oh, I understand.
You know this, but I just want
to. But this is my problem, so I have to gripe about my problem.
I understand, but I just want to share this real quick with you. I Avenue South of Wiggle Creek, which is 1.38 miles. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 240 ton of gravel that we hauled. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hours spent hauling the gravel, there was 23.5 hours. Hours spent in grading and spreading gravel was 17 hours. And then hours spent of the snow and ice removal was 3.5 hours.
But, okay. Scott, the whole day that they spent putting the gravel on the road up there by our house, that's not where we needed it. That's my biggest gripe. We didn't need it there. That was the best part of the road. Where they could have spent time on the bad parts, they spent time a whole day on the best part of the road.
But anyways, I just wanted to let you know that we are trying by me having this here.
Understand.
Okay, you know, listen, I love the old theory that we're taxpayers. We're all taxpayers. Everybody pays their taxes, okay? And that's my favorite line I like to tell people. We all pay our taxes. And I know you expect great roads, and we'll do our best. I think Rick has a great idea.
I don't expect great roads, Scott.
Well, we would like to have great roads.
I just expect not to have to put. I would like to have someone come in with a horse trailer that's buying a horse, and may not have to call them and say, "Listen, you can't come till maybe next week. You know, we might get some gravel." That's what I'm griping about. That's my business.
I think
Commissioner Scott, would you mind if I got with Fred tomorrow? We drove out there.
We'll stake them areas and
take a look at them. And
yep.
Yeah. Because now where those areas are, there is no crown. Now, if we get 2 inches of snow tonight,
which we're going to,
have the same problem in those spots because there's ruts and no crown now.
If there is anything prosperous to look at, I just seen the long-term forecast. March, April, May is supposed to be a way above average normal temperature.
Yay!
I know.
But, you know, I really think the biggest problem, what started most of this, is the farmers took out, we're down like this in between these hills, and the farmers took those terraces out, and that's when everything just washes down. Because when you guys dug those ditches out, we had Harris come in and do it. They put all that dirt on our land and spread it out for us, and every bit of it was topsoil. That's topsoil coming off them hills because there's no terraces. Every bit of what they dug out was topsoil.
Yeah, so, there's going to be erosion problems.
Yeah,
we'll take a look at it.
Yeah. Yep, well, thanks for coming, Tulsa.
Stop. I'm usually home, so stop.
Okay.
If you need
to. We'll probably get with Fred tomorrow morning early.
Not to speak out of turn, but why don't you use GeoGrid in them soft spots? Why don't you lay down a mat of GeoGrid, and then your rock, and then you get a good base, and then lay your rock over the top of your base.
Fred, what's your comment to back to that?
GeoGrid has been used in other spots in the county before, yeah.
I think
so. Okay, well, like I said, Rick and if I can make it, and Fred will be out tomorrow, and we'll look at it, and we'll get something resolved. Like I said, you know it's going to snow. So,
yeah, I know.
So let's... We'll be patient because
I know.
It's going to get wet again. It's going to get warmed up again. It's going to get wet. It's going to be muddy again.
But after 10 years of dealing with it now, I just want something done. You know, I want my kids to get home safely. I would like to have company without, you know, saying, oh, I'll come pick you up in town. I had to go down and hook onto a horse trailer the other day. Girl come to buy a horse. Had to go hook onto her horse trailer because she had two-wheel drive and pull her horse trailer up to my house. You know, that's just ridiculous to have to do all that.
You know, every year this time of year you're going to have that, though. I don't care where you live.
I know. But when you're trying,
we're going to have those problems.
Yeah, but it's.
I pulled the milk.
Come down our road when it's like that.
I pulled the milk truck into our farm the other day.
I know that every time this year there's mud because I have horses this deep in mud, and I get it. You know, I don't want y'all to think that I don't get it. I've farmed and ranched all my life. I've never lived anywhere but a gravel road. I get it.
Good luck. We'll be knocking on your door tomorrow.
All right.
What was your name again?
William.
Okay.
He lives at the end of the road.
I'm 2680.
Okay.
Best neighbor ever.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for coming, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? Joe?
I'll get up there with you.
Hey, they're going to team up on us again.
We have them banded Avenue.
Okay. What was your name again?
Ryan Harold Bergstrom.
Okay. And Joe Abbey.
And Joe Abbey.
149th and Bennett.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm counting one hand on how many times it's been graded in probably the last 9 months. And it don't go past one.
Yeah. They got it paved up to a quarter of a mile or better.
Yep. To the condominiums there?
Yep.
Yeah. You better slow down because you're going to drop down that 6 to 8 inch hole. Just like that. And then you're going to have mud the rest of the way. Now, you get down to Bennett Avenue, our road to the south ain't too bad. But if you go to north there, it's terrible. That's what Miller and all of them did. That had seen the gravel on that for 2 years.
Okay.
And Joe, well, I got some good news for you.
Yeah, great news.
Bennett Avenue is going to be paved.
I know they're going to pave. No, Bennett Avenue is not going to be paved.
No.
They're
149th is going to be paved, and then they're going to cut around the corner about 50 feet from Bennett Avenue to the west and pave that. So
they're going to parallel Bennett Avenue 50 feet.
Going to the north. So Bennett Avenue is going to be there. And in that county, I imagine you guys are going to have some way to gravel and maintain it, I would think.
Well, yeah, but I guess unless they've made a change on us. Yeah, unless they've made a change, but I thought that was
supposed to come. And we just went out and removed a the city just went out and removed a whole bunch of trees at the end of Bennett Avenue.
Yeah, way
down. And that's going to go from the train bridge up to where those trees were moved out. Yeah. It's going to come along and hook up to Bennett Avenue.
It's it ain't going to hook up to Bennett Avenue. It's going to go 50 feet west of Bennett Avenue.
Have you had been in city meetings or have somebody been out there told you?
I had plans on that. I had plans.
Because I don't know when the last plans were, and they might be accurate. But
no, they're accurate.
Okay, because they change that stuff a lot. Yeah. And I did just learn today, I talked to Bruce Davis, and at the end of March, they are opening up bids, and they are planning on moving forward the first of April.
And I just got, I just came out of a meeting, too, and the engineers were there, and I looked at all the plans. And unless they changed it within the last 2 weeks, it was.
But needless to say.
Well, I got that plan about 2 weeks from that engineer.
Needless to say, you guys have a couple issues. You guys just have some issues that we need to attend to, is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to run right along the side of Bennett Avenue, then, to the, on the west side of it?
Yeah, 50 feet from Bennett Avenue. It's going
to
go
we need to
50
abandon
feet
Bennett Avenue, and they can use that pavement.
Right.
And then head north, keep heading north.
So what's going to happen? If that's the case, what's going to happen to Bennett Avenue?
It's going to be there.
It's not going to be.
They have...
No. That's Orlaking. That's Orlaking.
That new road needs to be your road.
No, it ain't going to be.
I know, but it should.
That's what we were told.
It's going down 149th. It's going to be a new road going down to that, but in probably about 800 feet from Bennett Avenue, and then it's on a curve and go north 50 feet away from Bennett Avenue.
Huh. I wasn't aware of that.
Yep.
Honest to God, I don't think any of us. We're all pretty dumbfounded. Yeah, they thought it was just going to go right down 39th, which is 147th.
We just learned
and
something.
And then as soon as you get to the T, the concrete was going to head straight to the north.
No. That's the way I've always been.
That's the way that I've seen the plans.
And once you get by the lift station there, it's on a curve a little bit to the east. And you keep going. And in time, it's supposed to truck up to that road down that
Lomney Road.
No.
It's going to
tie into.
It's going to tie into 29th Street right away.
Huh? It's on the
29th. Okay, listen, as we're out and about tomorrow, obviously, who knows when this is going to happen. But as we're out and about tomorrow, we'll make a run up there to 147th. And I understand, Joe, you want a blade there more often. I get that. Okay, and we will do our best because I know we have.
What time will you be there? I got a plan right at home that you guys look at. I got it from the engineer.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we'll knock on your door then and see.
Okay. Don't be punctual before 5 o'clock. I get up at 5 in the morning.
No, I guess everybody's
five. Good deal.
What's that now?
I guess everybody's biggest worry down there is, you know, there's. I'm probably one of the youngest ones that live down there.
Everybody else
is in their 60s, 70s, early 80s. Is,
you know, he pointed at Dick when he said early 80s. That was funny.
That's all he does.
Rescue, you know.
Wait till he gets old.
That road, 49th
Street. He'd never get old. He'd probably get older.
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, Joe, besides let's look at it and we'll try to make a, you know. At one time, and this is not going to happen, but at one time, as we were making this deal of trying to be an investor or part of getting involved with the city and the school and, you know, Ho-Chunk, you know, with all this business, and we were going to wanted to turn those roads over because the fact that it would keep us away from the city and conduct our business more in the country, meaning C Avenue, letting them take over on that, 152nd, you know, the Bennett, Gulf Road, Dixon Path, and we haven't done any of that yet, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but we were planning on having them maintain them instead of dragging us clear into the city out from Hubbard.
The city has maintained it better than the county has.
Well, they
probably. For the simple fact that their lift station's down there.
Yeah, they open up for
but they never come to the south.
Not too often.
I keep the road going to the south open.
Okay. Well, the only thing I can tell you, unless anybody else wants to add anything, is we'll get down there tomorrow and look at your dip
And, you know, if we need some gravel down in there, we'll get it.
They're going to pave the rest of 149 down to within probably.
But you want that fixed between now and when that happens.
I don't know why, because, hell, it's been that way for all summer anyway.
So you don't want us to go in there and do anything to it then? Or?
In 3 months, they're going to start paving it down there. But you can come down and fix North Bennett Avenue, put no gravel on that. I don't go down there, but there's about 5 houses there.
Yeah, Chuck Cooley lives down there. Chuck Cooley lives down there.
And Mrs. Miller.
Miller, yeah. Meisner.
Marty.
Yeah. And Meisner's are in behind Chuck and
Marty Meisner.
Yeah. Well, he don't live there no more.
No.
Okay, well, we'll get out and check them out.
Yeah, we'll be down there tomorrow.
Thanks.
We're
going to
have those guys on the road tomorrow, Rick and Scott. Watch out.
Well, that.
Hey, thanks for coming in, Harold. See you, Joe.
Yeah.
What Harold?
Thanks.
What Harold brought to our attention there. I don't know how they could dodge off 50 feet from Bennett Avenue unless they want frontage there. But that wouldn't give them enough frontage between Bennett Avenue and that to do anything.
No.
So why would they? Why would they?
I don't know. I thought all the time it was going right down Bennett.
Well, I did too.
That was what I thought too.
Yeah, that's what I've been told, and you know as well as I do, they've changed it a few different times.
Right, but he said he got the print.
At one time they were talking about keep going south on Bennett Avenue and making the entrance onto 129, remember?
Yep, right.
That's right.
Right.
Well, having that option open to do that.
I mean, and once this is all in, they still want to push that if the housing thing really opens up. They want to put a exit entrance onto 129.
And I could see him wanting to move the road over a little bit so that it wasn't right next to the lift station. But
those homes.
Yeah.
But even if it's only 50 foot, let's just abandon Bennett Avenue and let them use that access and build them driveways on out. They still own the property up there. It's only 50 foot.
Yeah, that's nothing.
We can do that.
They wouldn't buy all right away to build a new road when there's already right-of-way road already there.
Yeah, why would they do that?
I'll get with Bruce Davis. I'm going to ask him tomorrow. Phone Bruce.
You don't like the elbow with the serious house receding. He's all day.
Oh, well, I'd listen to you.
Every day with them.
Yeah.
I was with Lance. I was with Bruce.
No.
Yes.
He didn't know. Okay. Is that everything here today?
Here for public comment?
No. Unless you want to say something. Okay, listen, that's it. We're done.
All right.
We're out. Meeting adjourned, and I guess we're going to meet again next March 14th.
Because
what's in my
that deal down in Heston, Kansas, and all that shit that's going on.
Yeah. Okay, Donald Sheriff was called 10 months.